This morning we're going to continue on in Galatians 5, verses 14 through to 26, and we're considering the subject of living by the Spirit. I've entitled the message, Struggle, Struggle, Struggle. But let me just read out the passage we're going to consider. The entire law is summed up in a single command: love your neighbor as yourself. If you keep on biting and devouring each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking and envying each other. Let's pray. Lord, as we consider this morning this passage from Galatians, and in particular what it means to live by the Spirit, to be led by the Spirit, Lord, I pray that you would open our eyes, open our hearts, we pray, to understand your word, and Lord, to be receptive to you. We thank you for your word that you've imparted to us. Give us understanding, and Lord, we pray for sensitive hearts this morning, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I don't know if you identify with this passage, the one that I've entitled Struggle, Struggle, Struggle. I know some of you do, and I know this battle between the sinful nature and the Spirit seems to go on and on and on, and at times is very, very wearisome. And just as the psalmist that we considered in Psalm 51 there, created me a new heart, O God, and put a new and right spirit within us. How often is that the cry of the believer? And I'm sure you experience it certainly as the Holy Spirit prompts us in different ways, and then we see the reality of our everyday life and the sinfulness of our lives, how we long to be in heaven. Paul here in the book of Galatians is dealing with four types of people, and they're not in any particular order, but the first one I've called is the freedom freak, and his struggle is only in his dreams. He basically doesn't see a struggle or a problem. He just follows his natural inclinations and desires. I am saved. I have a place in heaven. It's got my name on it, and I can do what I like. A libertarian, they used to call them. A freedom freak whose only struggle is in his dreams when he didn't ask for it. The other sort of person who's given quite a bit of time in Galatians is the legalist. And we've looked at him, the law keeper, the one who's unwilling to accept the grace of God. He struggles, and he struggles, and he struggles, but he doesn't achieve victory, or he doesn't experience any sense of certain ultimate triumph. No, he lives by I can do it. I can, if I try harder, I can do it. If I follow these regulations, if I write them down, if I tick them off, I can do it, and I will be a better person. So he really struggles. The believer is another category, the third one, who while here on earth agonizingly struggles with the sinful nature and with the promptings of the Holy Spirit. He understands in principle the victory has been won at the cross, and it is ever only going to be his. He is on the victorious side. His hope is for that day when he will go to be with the Lord and the victory will be completed. And the fourth person, which is alluded to, not directly, of course, is the redeemed soul that's already there, and for him, there is no struggle. The battle is over. He wears a crown of victory. He is victorious. So that's where we are. We're going to consider the subject of live by the Spirit, or led by the Spirit, or in step with the Spirit. It's mentioned four times there. We live by the Spirit. I'm not a Pentecostal, by the way. If you consider I am, well, then you're mistaken. Not that I have a problem with my Pentecostal brothers and sisters, but I just want to say that out front in case you think I use the Holy Spirit too much and I'm going over here. I'm not too woolly, I hope. But it is. It's quite clear we're told to live by the Spirit, led by the Spirit, and to be in step with the Spirit. And what does that mean in the lives of you and me today? How do we live by the Spirit, and how do we struggle successfully in this conflict with the sinful nature? Because Paul says the Spirit and the sinful nature are contrary to one another. They are in conflict with one another so that we do not do what we want to do. The experience of believers here on this side of eternity. And Paul lists out in verses 19 through to 21 a list of acts of the sinful nature. I'd suggest it's not a complete list, it's an indicative list only. And he said they are very, very obvious. And I've divided them into four categories because they actually do drop into that quite clearly. So the first three, sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery. Now orgies, you could say, probably drops up there as well, but also orgies are related to drunken parties, etc., etc. But immorality or unlawful sexual intercourse is what's being addressed at here. Evil in the sexual realm. And it was in those days, as it is today, quite rife. Particularly in Roman culture and to some degree in the Greek culture of the day, even in their worship, they were very sexual and immoral in their nature. And so the boundaries of family life, the boundaries of purity were not observed in the culture that these believers in Galatia and throughout the Roman Empire had to live with. And certainly it clashed with their Jewish culture as well. But today, you know, our boundaries are gone. There are no boundaries. There are no biblical boundaries that the people of New Zealand have to live within. If it feels right, it is right, provided it's not harming anybody. Now, that is a ridiculous philosophy if you think it through. Because most people don't think it through. This feels right. You don't tell me I can't do these sorts of things. And so we have the situation of people living outside of marriage. That's common, very common nowadays. The vows that people make in marriage, they don't mean them. They don't see them as a contractual vow when they promise that I will live with you, I'll love you till the day death separates us. It suddenly comes up against, I actually don't like you very much, and I don't think I want to work with getting on with you. It's just too hard. You need too much help, and I'm not here to give it to you. And so the marriage is split up. There is no sense of commitment in today's society. And certainly young people before marriage, you know, it's what do we learn about? It's just all about keeping yourself safe. This is not a biblical position to have sex before marriage. And we need to say that and say it quite clearly. And it's called here acts of a sinful nature. Okay, that's a biblical position. And then it goes on. So we move on from immorality. We move into a category of idolatry, or idolatry and witchcraft. Again, quite specific, and probably in the context of worship or heathen worship that some of this goes on. Now, we don't see it overtly so much here in New Zealand, but I have been in contact with some of you know Jeff Garton. He's been involved with casting out demons from various people, and he was relating to me about a year ago and saying a friend of his who is actively engaged in this area made the comment that South Auckland is very rife with witchcraft and idolatry, and active witches' covens, wizardry. I worked with a guy when I was working for Pikel Engineering over on Browns Road, had on the bumper of his car, wizard. And I thought, oh yeah, that's just funny, you know, like Lord of the Rings, or I'm a whiz kid, or whatever. And when I talked to him about it, he claimed he was a wizard and he met with other wizards and they were involved in satanic worship. I think it was Hal Lisons, he said, Satan is alive and well, and certainly is alive and well here in South Auckland, and we've had some experience of that, or a little experience of that, in the last month or so. Active wickedness, or acts of the sinful nature. The next eight acts of sinful nature are to do with interpersonal relationships, probably within the church in this context, talking about factions and rivalry, dissension, envy, selfish ambition. And I would suggest that word selfish ambition is probably the key to all that is going on here. Verse 15 up the top, you can drop that in as well. If you keep on biting and devouring each other, watch out or you'll destroy yourselves. So it's things like gossip and backbiting. And we're going to see the opposite of that when we come into the fruits of the Spirit. So it's not, rather than loving one another, it's destroying one another. It's pulling down. It's saying things behind people's backs. It's forming parties. And, you know, I'm of Paul's party. I'm of Cephas. That style of thing, and saying, you know, and it's absolutely, at the end of the day, cancerous and rottenness to the bones. It actually destroys a Christian community. And then finally, we have drunkenness, orgies, and the like. Don't let your mind ramble too far on what the like is. But it's the evils associated in this context with alcohol. In our context here, you wrap in drug abuse as well. And Scripture calls drunkenness a sin, not merely a disease. You may like to, and I don't really want to discuss this right now, the pros and cons, and I do have a very high respect for AA and other ministries like that, but I think we need to understand that here we're talking about it as an act of the sinful nature. Jenny and I have had some direct involvement with that with one of our siblings. One of our children has been involved with P and certainly alcohol and drug addiction for many, many years. And it's been really sad to observe that right in front of our own eyes. It's really quite hard to take. But we've been praying over many, many years. And we're glad to say that our son is currently involved in a Narcotics Anonymous group, and he's been probably drug-free now for several months and alcohol-free for probably a couple of months now, and that there's real progress, a real desire And I suggest it would only be coming from the Lord, a desire to come out of that sort of culture which has destroyed him and his family, and particularly his wife. Sadly, his wife is still caught up in it and cannot break it, but we have hope for her as well. But these are plainly called acts of the sinful nature. And then we're told, do not walk according to these acts, but live by the Spirit, being led by the Spirit and step with the Spirit. And the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And against such things there is no law. I've tried to divide this up into groupings. Look, groupings are not necessarily that great, but maybe they help us a little bit. But the first three, love, joy, peace, are basic spiritual qualities. Love, of course, heads the list. And Paul, up in verse 14, and that's why I included those two sections. My Bible actually breaks below that. But it says, love your neighbor as yourself. One command, love your neighbor as yourself. The Lord gave two commands in summarizing the law. Love the Lord your God and love your neighbor as yourself. For love is not only the measure, but it is also the goal of our freedom. It's love that sets us free. These acts of the sinful nature, as you can understand, they actually bind us. It's very clear. You know, when we were talking just a few minutes ago about drug abuse and seeing it in our son and our daughter-in-law, they are bound by it. They are absolutely bound by it. Not only do their personalities change, but their desires change. Those are acts of the sinful nature. And I would suggest they apply to some of the immorality issues as well. They can bind and change personalities. And ultimately, as the devil would have it, they destroy the human person. But the fruit of the Spirit sets us free. Love, joy, and peace. Love, and I would suggest in this context, of service to the community within the church, to the neighbors. And that is counter to all this factions and dissensions, envy and selfish ambition, loving one another and loving our neighbors. It never ceases to amaze me as I consider the church here and the amount of love that goes out in this community to other people. We are a small grouping. But I would have to say one of the characteristics of this church, which is just wonderful, is the quiet acts of love that go on many times unseen. But you'll pop into somebody's home and they'll mention some kind act that someone else has done. And what a blessing it is to hear those sorts of things. And that's what Paul, I believe, is directing his comments about the fruit of the Spirit. If you want to counter these relationship issues within a community, these ridiculous things, then look at the loving service of your fellow believers. And obviously love is superior to all the spiritual gifts. And love leads to joy, which leads to peace. The psalmist says in Psalm 119:65, great peace have they who love your law, and nothing can make them stumble. There's another grouping then, which again relates to social relationships, patience, kindness, and goodness. Patience, refusing to yield to passion or to outbursts of anger. That's something I struggle with. I don't think I'm a patient person. I'd like to be. My wife's a patient person. She has to put up with me, so you'd have to be patient. Patient or long-suffering. Patience, long-suffering, kindness, and goodness. And certainly the early Christians were an example, as we see in Acts, the book of Acts, the kindness that they reflected to one another. And finally, we have, I've just grouped them in as other, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Faithfulness, meaning loyalty, fidelity. Gentleness or meekness, which is the opposite of violence. And I think when we mention the aspect of meekness and gentleness and self-control, we're reminded of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Jesus, the one who is meek and who went into the cross at Calvary and suffered for us on our behalf. Jesus, the meek. So it takes the Spirit to set us free. What does it mean, in conclusion, to live by the Spirit, to be led by the Spirit, to be in step with the Spirit? I think I've mentioned before, I know sometime early last year it seems like, but Jenny and I did a course, I think it was 2003, called Spiritual Development, which Andrew Young led, and it was an experimental course at that time. It was the first time that Grace Theological College had offered it. And Andrew had been obviously thinking in this area for a number of years and had wanted to put this course together. And that was one of those moments in our lives where you just look back and say, that was a significant point, or seemed to be a significant point, in my Christian walk. And during that, we considered mainly the drive of the whole course was, is it possible to have intimacy with God? Is it possible to have an intimate relationship with God? And that's what we were exploring. And we looked through a number through church history. We looked at a number of the early fathers in the church. We looked at some of the mystics who went out into the desert and lived there for their lives. Some of the monks who set themselves aside. And we kind of say, yeah, that's all a lot of good works. But within that were some very genuine and sincere men and women who desired a close walk with God. And one of the things I really got out of the course was just this whole aspect of living moment by moment in walk with the Holy Spirit. Living by the Spirit, led by the Spirit, and step with the Spirit. In other words, talking to the Lord, say, Lord, which way would you have me to go? Lord, this is a difficult position for me. I struggle with this. I struggle with this relationship. Please help me in this meeting. Please help me in this circumstance where I am weak. And just walking step by step with the Holy Spirit. And that can be a very, very liberating thing day by day. I would suggest to you, we studied in this course some of the things called spiritual disciplines. And does this ever sound like legalism? It surely does. But I think we need to get it in the context. The spiritual disciplines were things like spending a day alone with God in prayer. Things like memorizing scripture. Things like tithing and giving. Things like denying ourselves certain things. And certainly, you know, if you're looking to that for salvation, it is absolute legalism. But in terms of things like getting to know the Word, the Holy Spirit and the Word of God work in tandem. When you think through a lot of these issues, the Spirit of God and the Word of God are together. So the memorization of Scripture, for example, is an absolute key in fighting against the acts of the sinful nature. So that was a wonderful course that we did that I found very helpful in terms of trying to live by the Spirit and walk in step with the Spirit day by day, and the joy and the peace that comes. And sometimes it's necessary to put in place some things like most men have a problem with lust. 100% do. But I have some close relationships with some buddies of mine, And some of those buddies, we've made a commitment to one another that we have given one another the permission and the right to look one another in the eyeballs and say, brother, how's your internet cruising going on? Would you give me permission to come and see what sites you've looked at on your internet? I have a friend who actually has emails and gives his friend access to all the email browsing he's been done. Margaret Reynolds tells me that in her counselling practice that internet pornography is just rife in the community that she ministers to. But things like that, that just help in practical ways for issues like that. Now that may not be a struggle for you, that may not be an issue for you. You may be that 0.00001%. But there are things like that that we can do to encourage one another. Let us encourage one another, and all the more as we see the day draw near. So those are just some things, those are some practical things you may want to consider as you consider some of these verses here. Paul is trying to bring in front of the believers the stark contrast between the acts of the sinful nature or the world and the lives of Christians and what they should be characterized by. So I put that to you, and hopefully there are some things there that we can consider and that the Lord may lay on our hearts. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the truths in Scripture. We thank you that, Lord, that you love us. Lord, you don't want us to be bound by the world and the sinful nature of this world. We know that Satan is absolutely committed to our destruction. Lord, but we know that the victory has been won, that you are great, that you are mighty, that you have given us your Holy Spirit to indwell within us. You create in us a desire to be holy. Lord, we do pray that as we submit ourselves to your will, give us the strength, give us the courage to listen to that still small voice which says, this is the way, walk ye in it. Help us, we pray. Be with us. Bless us all now, we ask. Bless in particular those who are not with us, who may be traveling. Keep them safe, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen.